Our team comes up with a threefold plan. Hopper and Jane will venture back to Hawkins' lab and close the gate to prevent the Mind Flayer from taking Hawkins. Joyce, Jonathan, and Nancy will take Will to Hopper's cabin and burn the Mind Flayer out of Will's body. Lucas, Dustin, Will, Max, and Steve will enter Hopper's hole and set fire to a central hub to try to give Jane and Hopper a fighting chance.
The Mind Flayer resists the attempts to purge it out of Will's body, tormenting the boy as Joyce steels herself to keep turning up the heat. Eventually, the Mind Flayer has no choice but to exit Will in a massive cloud of smoke and shadow as it flees into the night.
Max and the boys have to defeat Billy before stealing his car and heading once more to the pumpkin patch. There, they soak the hub in gasoline and set it aflame, pulling all the remaining demo dogs away from the portal. Dustin exploits his connection to Dart a final time to escape the flaming tunnel.
In the lab, Jane focuses all her rage and pain into a battle of wills between her and the Mind Flayer as Hopper protects her from a relentless demo dog attack long enough for her to force the gate closed. She collapses with the effort.
We end things this year at the annual Hawkins Snowball. Northern Indiana might be cold in December, but our hearts are warm as Joyce finds comfort in Hopper, Steve maturely deals with Nancy and Jonathan's happiness, and the children all get a moment of happiness they so richly deserve. Welcome to Dungeons & Demogorgons, the officially unofficial podcast for Stranger Things on Netflix. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just finished the final episode of Season 2, called Chapter 9, The Gate. We, I think, are mutually pumped here. It was, in my opinion, an awesome finale to what was an awesome season. I thought, almost tip to tail, this thing was great.
Yeah, I have one less problem than you for the season. So, like, to me, this is almost flawless. And, I mean, the only thing I can say bad about it is that there's a little bit of Return of the Jedi, Death Star 2 element to Jane once again stretched out with her hands screaming at something as it dissolves in the light. Mm-hmm. But, goddamn, the last 15 minutes are just so perfect. It's such a great... stress reliever, a pressure reliever, and every moment is earned and nothing is false. And I just, it made me extremely happy to watch this episode and this season as a whole. It is fantastic. It's fantastic television.
I agree. I don't know if we want to talk about the finale, right? Like the final part of this episode right away, but there's plenty to talk about here. If we start from the beginning, we obviously had the reunion of Mike and Elle, and Mike just throws this tantrum at Hopper for keeping him from Elle.
And
it felt like it was earned. Like, I wish Mike could be a little more understanding, but I get why he isn't.
Yeah, he's...
and that's the problem, right? Like, I'm going to be a little more level-headed than Mike here and say,
right,
I'll allow him this moment of annoying behavior, but...
And Hopper handles it perfectly, too, because he understands the score.
Yeah, and he takes a lot of punches in this scene.
He does.
They're kid punches.
I think David Harbour could take an infinite amount of Mike punches.
What about a knee to the groin? I was worried. I was worried for his groin.
Well, Mike knows where the line is.
He does.
Yeah, he doesn't want it to go quite
the belt.
Go time. Yeah.
It's police. That's the line.
You stay north of that, and it'll be fine.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean... That and then immediately the Hopper and Jane coming to terms with their relationship, mm-hmm. In the car ride over to the lab where, because that's the thing, like when Hopper was apologizing to her and saying, I don't really know what I'm doing. I was just trying to protect you and I was scared and I was stupid.
Yeah.
Like I was already starting to say, yeah, but she, and then she started to also apologize for being stupid. And they just kind of had this reconciliation and Hopper told her she looked cool or bitchin', mm-hmm. as she says in her clothes, and
Hopper's got a new daughter in this scene effectively.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and he comes clean to her about a lot of his personal fears, how he feels like he's a black hole and how he ran off Sarah, which I think is his wife, right? He's not talking about his daughter.
No, that's his daughter, and I don't know why he says that he destroyed her. That he's the black hole here, but...
Oh, see, I thought Sarah was his wife. I mean, it works either way, but...
No, in the bar, when the guy asked him what his daughter's name was,
Sarah.
In the spelling bee, he says Sarah.
Okay, so gotcha.
Either he's lying to that guy, which
right.
is possible, or that's his daughter.
But I thought that was great.
Yeah.
And also, because the thing is, We talked about this, you know, right after the episode, even before this episode. If every season ends up with L, you know, just screaming at something, CG something, and it dissolving, I guess the difference in this season is I don't think they would have won had the boys and Max not done their pretty heroic sacrifice, too.
Yeah.
Like when Hopper leaned in with his knife and looked and saw just this place overrun with Dimmock dogs, he knew there's no way. There's no way they're going to get this done.
No, but it bought him the time they needed.
It did. It did. And the whole way this ended, like, with Steve putting his foot down just as Billy arrives, and then Steve standing up to Billy, and Max.
The kids not being able to stay out of it.
Yeah. And, like, it looks like Steve is going to win the fight outright, and then Billy starts kicking his ass, and then Max. Which is funny, because I wondered, she stuck with the Zoomer thing with the car. But
nice.
As she stabs him in from behind with the needle, I'm like, well, she's the rogue.
Yeah.
That's what she needs. That's the class that she needs to be. But I feel like that now she's finally part of the group because she's able to successfully defeat Billy. And the end of the episode, you know, not to get too far into that, but it seems like their family has achieved an uneasy peace and some sort of understanding. I don't know. Do you think that going forward, Billy will be a villain? Do you think he'll be like...
I think he is. He seems to be at bay for the moment, but there's still something there, you know? And I don't know if it's that Billy is intimidated by Max at this point. That doesn't seem right, but they give each other a weird look while she's getting ready for the ball.
And the thing is, I don't think Billy is a bad guy. I mean...
In some ways he is. In some ways... I feel bad for him.
I mean, yeah, there's the thing is, like, he's got this irrational racist hatred for Lucas and probably all black people that he needs to deal with. But he's also got, you know, a lot of pathos similar to, like, Steve. And he's also a very strong character, again, similar to Steve. I really liked his scene with Nancy's mom.
He's a fucking charmer.
And, like, we noticed that the I don't know if that's a real Harlequin romance book that she's reading in the tub, but or if it's fake, but it looks so much like Billy.
The makeup, the hair.
Yeah, everything about it. Yeah. And she just charmed. Well, I mean, she wasn't wearing pants. She had
she
pants. He splooshed her, as they say on Archer. And that was just a really funny scene. Like, fucking Ted, sack of shit Ted had his his case of beer and has passed out for tonight. And, you know, Billy's putting the moves on Mike's mom. I wouldn't mind seeing him brought into the story. You know, fix his damn, like, you know, obviously Lucas is going to be like, I don't know. That's the other thing. It's like, these kids are all kids. It's very unlikely that they're going, I mean, I don't know if they're going to a Harry Potter direction that, like, all these kids are just going to, like, matchy-matchy and get married and live happily ever forever and all is well and all that shit. But, I think Lucas will be good to Max, and maybe that will win over Billy.
Maybe so. I'm surprised, I guess, at how riveting I found the fight between Steve and Billy. I knew it had to come eventually, but we had so much other stuff to deal with and much bigger issues that I expected it to fall a little flat, but it didn't. Mm. I was absorbed the entire time.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And I was wrong about the two versions of Steve. Neither version can take Billy.
No.
I thought maybe the hidden alpha Steve could. No.
It just feels like Billy's got a couple inches and 25 pounds of muscle on Steve.
And probably like 10 years of getting his ass kicked by his dad on Steve. Like, that's what I think pushed him over the edge.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been accustomed to physical violence from an early age, which is, that can give you the edge.
I don't think Steve's had a day of discipline in his life.
Probably not.
He's been handed the keys to a new BMW every time he acts up.
Yeah. Just, you know, if you be good, I'll give you the new Beamer. But that was pretty cool.
I'm worried that Max has not solved this Billy problem, though, because if I know anything about bullies, you have to disable their ability to strike at you.
Mm-hmm.
In a way. And if that means destroying their self-image or the image that everyone else has about them, that's one way to do it. But Billy has not really had that happen to him yet, and I'm worried he's going to come back more dangerous.
The thing is about that look is I wonder how much she got away with telling Billy, because she knocked him the fuck out.
Yeah.
That house was, you know, it's your late season two of Stranger Things, Joyce, red yarn, fucking crayon drawing nightmare. And then Max steals his car, dings it up as she runs over a couple of mailboxes. Like, I wonder if Billy knows more than we think he does. Because why wouldn't, like...
Yeah,
like,
why wouldn't he...
Why wouldn't he, like, take that to his parent? What does his parent say? Like, I wonder if something passed between them that we're just not privy to yet.
Yeah, maybe so.
Or maybe next season is going to be, he's going to be playing the foil, like, where he's trying to find out, or I don't know. Maybe. I'm not going to try to second guess the Duffer Brothers. They have my, their end of season two leftovers, Damon Lindelof with me right now.
Yeah.
Like, they bring apparently on whatever can't you do any wrong.
My thought is he wakes up after being knocked out and he goes to the fridge for a beer. And he sees that Demodog in there.
Oh, yeah.
That thing's still in there.
You're right.
Did anything with that. So,
like, that's something Max could do. She'd be like, look, shithead. Yeah. Look at this, you son of a bitch.
I'm looking for that to come back in season three.
Yeah. I also wonder, I mean, I don't know what these things can do. Well, I mean, yeah, okay. Because, like, there's no way it came back to life. Because when they shoved it in the fridge, my first thought is like, oh, my God, it's a Universal Soldier situation. They like the cold. It's going to heal itself. And But... Joyce, I'm sure, still has the use of refrigerator, and there's not a giant Demogorgon still in it.
Yeah.
So, although, that's the other cool thing, is, like, the watered-down version of the truth, where some kind of government gas, the asphyxiated barb, and they've shut down Hawkins' lab and driven it out of the town, is kind of neat. That's a positive development. I wonder what they would do with a frozen Demodog.
I don't know.
Like, that's too much truth. Too much vodka. Too much vodka in my club soda.
Does Dustin take that to Mr. Clark?
I mean, dangerous.
He didn't seem to have been changed by the knowledge.
I wonder, because, like, Dustin seems like he's on the verge of being a scientist. Like, I wonder if he just takes it upon himself to do the studying. Like, this is going to be his personal, project. He's got to let... I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know where he'd keep it, though.
Storm cellar.
The cellar?
That thing was empty.
Have a fridge down there?
That thing was... No, but, I mean, it'd be easy to get, like, one of those small little freezers, and he can get a little dissection table down there. Maybe he's got a, I don't know, trash can full of formaldehyde. He's
going to ask Steve for the money.
Again, I don't want to do the Duffer Brothers job for them, because they're way better than me.
Yeah. But that thing's going to come back. That thing was not left as a dangling thread for no reason.
Yep. And I have to extend an official apology to the not even a little bit evil Dr. Paul Reiser.
No, all good.
Paul Reiser did the ultimate 80s science fiction Paul Reiser subversion, and he's a decent guy. He's a stand-up guy.
Hell yeah, he is.
With that bum leg, he's still a stand-up guy.
Gets Elle the birth certificate at the end of this thing.
So she can be a real little girl in the eyes of the government. Now, they need to ease her in.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing else, because she's fucking weird.
Sure.
Like, she needs to be socialized and learn some vocabulary before you introduce her into this world. But, like, there's a clean path for her. Like, maybe Hopper adopts her. But she can now be integrated into society.
I think maybe homeschooling is in her future. I don't know how you catch her up to public school at a middle school level.
Do you think that she's above average intelligence? Because that's the thing, we don't, like, she could just be, like, slightly dumb even. She just got fantastic mental powers.
Maybe.
But, I mean, like, I guess I assume that she's, like, hyper-intelligent and she'd be able to pick this stuff together.
Maybe she would. So do you want to talk about the scene with Will getting exorcised?
Yeah, the exorcism of Will Byers. Again, this kid's just doing work this year, and
he is. I wish he didn't have to, though. I wish he was able to participate in the adventures that his friends are having without being the evil guy here.
Yeah, no.
Next season, it's got to be the season of Will.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this was kind of the season of Will. He got to do some of the best work,
sure. But I want him to be a hero, not something to be feared.
Well, that's the thing I'm wondering, is because, Noah Schnapp here. I wonder, because we're wondering, like, how did they keep upping the stakes? And, you know, they showed Will, maybe he doesn't have superpowers, but he did have a connection with this monster that's going to be probably useful on an ongoing basis. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, because you also saw Dustin took a lungful of the shadow monster's aerial sperm,
and
whatever
freaked
it is.
The hell out about it.
Well,
and
I mean,
got over
Hopper
it.
Did too,
and, but then got over it like super quick. Hopper fell down and
he was wearing a
died.
Mask at the time, so he probably didn't get the full blast. But
yeah.
I wonder if like there's gonna like I wonder. Is Hopper going to be unchanged? Is Dustin going to be unchanged? Or are we seeing like a team of like proto X-Men that they're all going to develop? I don't know how you keep making things bigger and better. Mm-hmm. Like we went from a single Demogorgon to 48 Demodogs and just a colossally giant shadow monster to complete control of Will's body. They got to get big. And the portal's now closed. They got to get bigger for season 3. Hawking's lab is closed down, which... that's the other thing is like this is a two-edged sword because on the one hand it could be good. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, that was the only thing that was kind of keeping a lid on this situation. Now you don't have the benevolent saint-like beautified Dr. Paul Reiser to monitor things and keep an eye on things.
Yeah.
So Nancy and Jonathan might have fucked Hawkins by driving the lab out of town. Although they did give Barb's family closure, which is nice.
Yeah, no, that's possible. I wonder, so they definitely need to get at least different, I would say, next season. Like, how do you go more apocalyptic than the end of the world? And this gigantic monster, which we see at the end of this thing.
Still there.
It's not dead, it's just
that was
one
of the best,
off.
Like, guys, they pan out and we're like, oh, you know, at the snowball. Then the snowball starts twisting upside
down.
Don't
you fucking flip this thing.
Yeah, they did.
And they did.
And it looks bad, and that thing looks pissed. So it's going to come back.
So the interesting thing is we still have 9 other superpowered people out there that could at least 9 others. That
well, 10.
That we know have to
exist. Oh, yeah,
well,
yeah, 9 others. Yeah. Do you think that there's... Because, like, when they broke into the Rainbow Room, it was just Jane and Callie.
Right.
So...
I think they're waiting to cast those others for season 3.
Well,
maybe.
I just wonder, maybe the others, like, you know, didn't survive
sure,
the process
possible.
Or whatever. It's a Spartan situation where not all of the kids make it.
No, but we have 9 others that we could potentially play with, so...
Yeah, you've also got... You also got Jane's mom that they could somehow psychically rescue, and
maybe.
She could be a player in the game because she's got powers of her own, not as
Seems
maybe
to.
As strong as Jane's, but mm-hmm. you know.
But I mean, I might be okay if they went a little bit different with it next season. Didn't try and go bigger, but maybe had some kind of different resolution and different climax.
Because, honestly, I could
like
get down.
Like you said, it was very familiar. This
I could
year.
Get down with a whole like a year of just like nothing supernatural, just like an '80s version of the Wonder Years with these kids. You know, like make the monsters be the B plot, and this just do some solid character development, and then fuck shit up in season 4.
I mean, that's the funny thing is when he's talking to Dr. Paul Reiser and the benevolent Dr. Paul Reiser,
mm-hmm.
and he gives him the birth certificate and he says, if you want to be safe, let this cool off for a year. I was like, oh, a fucking course you're going to say a year because that's when Stranger Things is going to come back. You know?
Right. And again, they've got a lot of narrative reasons why this thing might be a yearly cycle. The fact that these creatures don't like hot, and it's fucking hot as balls in Indiana in the height of summer. The fact that, you know, Eleven or Jane needs a year to be reintegrated successfully into society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the things I was highly skeptical of, and they've seemed to solve that problem.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, the other thing is, like, we haven't talked about the sheer spectacle. Like, when you see that fucking portal, how big it is and how many Demogorgons, like, you just wonder, like, how? And they did this thing where, I mean, this is kind of like we talk about this with the X-Men movies where you've got two characters psychically battling and it's just they're levitating and screaming at each other mm-hmm. and throwing a bunch of CGI particles. And this was exactly that.
It was. Yeah, it's tough to do the mind powers
and
keep it engaging.
Going forward, they're going to either have to continually come up with interesting ways for the others to contribute, running these like in-game, you know, these in-runs around the main threat why Jane just solves it, or they're going to have to... Like, one interesting flip is if Jane gets incapacitated and all the normals have to do something.
Yeah, sure.
And
they've got the Goonies, right?
And with Dr. Paul Reiser, they've now got a person who's alive that like would be a big boon in that kind of because I wonder if the government's going to, now that the lid's kind of blown off on this, they're going to go develop a whole bunch of like anti-Demogorgon technology.
Hmm. like a Half-Life sort of situation.
Yeah, exactly. Or like a Ghostbusters, only like, you know, Black Ops and Professional.
Yeah. That could be cool.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So do we want to talk about, I think it's about time to start talking, just gushing over the end.
Because, okay, one more thing real quick. I want to know how the idea of Dart-loving Nougat meshes with the hive mind thing that they've got going. Well, especially, because he acts very differently than the others.
Yeah, and I think they leaned into that because Dart was still not completely dead and was collapsed on top of the Milky Way.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, the Three Musketeers bar, as if it psychically ignored its imperative to return to home base to defend the Mind Flayer.
Right.
And I wonder if they're suggesting that that human contact gave it enough of a personality that it was able to do that.
Maybe.
I mean, we don't fully understand it, but I think one thing I think it's significant is that bond was still somewhat intact.
Mm-hmm.
Like it absolutely recognized Dustin, and Dustin exploited its connection to him and his love of Nougat to get past it. And also, we last saw Dart, it was still breathing, it's still moving, making mewling noise. I don't know that, I'm not sure it's dead.
Okay.
Maybe it was far, like the psychic, it was far enough away from the gate when it was closed that the psychic connection being severed didn't kill it. And it'll be an ongoing character. Because they also gave it like in Gremlins, you had Stripe. They gave it a distinguishing physical feature, that yellow mark on its ass. So, you know, I guess I would buy it if I saw it in season three that, and there's plenty of tunnels for it to be rampaging through and causing mischief.
Sure.
Those tunnels aren't going to go anywhere.
Nope.
Before we talk about the snowball and everything that happens after the gate is closed, I want to talk about opening up a gate called club.baldmove.com. If this is the first podcast you've heard, or if you're really enjoying the coverage, we spent a lot of time and effort. We gave up a whole weekend with our friends and family to watch this show. And the only way we could do that is because Bald Move is a full-time job for us. And primarily because our listeners directly support us through the club. If you go to club.baldmove.com, you get a bunch of bonus features. You get a lot of unique special audio and video content. You get ad-free feeds for the podcast. You don't have to, you know, listen to us pitch various products or even the club itself. There is VIP access to the forums. Just a bunch of stuff. All those pitches are at club.baldmove.com. You get a 30-day free trial. And we'd really appreciate it. If you liked our Stranger Things coverage, and we cover so much, if you go to baldmove.com, so many shows, so many movies, so much pop culture, if you'd like to help us keep doing that and get some cool rewards for yourself, go to club.baldmove.com. We would really appreciate it. Are we ready to talk about the end now?
Yeah.
I
like how they jump ahead 1 month later again.
They do. And I really liked when we saw the Briar household that Will has drawn a tribute to Bob Newby as a superhero.
Yep.
I thought that was really fitting. And also my wife told me, so there's a after show called Beyond Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I think, an episode for every episode of Stranger Things where they sit down with the Duffer brothers, and I don't know what the guy's name is, but it's the dean from Community.
Mm-hmm.
He's like kind of leading a roundtable discussion with these kid actors and a lot of people from the show, and they're talking about this stuff. And my wife was watching this as we were doing this process today, and she said that they mentioned that Sean Astin, that he was originally meant to be kind of a villain,
mm-hmm.
that he's going to be this two-faced, like trying to get in Joyce's pants, but being a real shit to the kids. And this Bob turned out like Sean is such a warm and goofy and cool dude that they just couldn't do it. And they rewrote his character as this nerdy, lovable, heroic guy, which I thought was super cool. And I'm actually kind of excited to go through and look at all of those Beyond Stranger Things.
Yeah,
because it
too.
Looks like it's really well done.
Mm-hmm.
That I thought that was interesting, and that was a fitting tribute to him. You also noticed something, that they took this Polaroid of Mike.
Yeah.
And the way they compose it, there's a lot of like negative space like to the left of him and behind, that you wondered, like, I wonder if there's going to be something in the static
if you remember, like, that's where Joyce saw the Mind Flayer, right? In the static of the JVC recording.
It wouldn't surprise me if there's going to be something like that's one of the hooks for season three.
Yeah, and we did see Jonathan taking you know, video of Will as he gets ready.
The JVC lives on.
It did make another appearance. Not a super important one, but maybe season three.
Yeah.
Return of the JVC.
I love Lucas practicing his smooth moves, and then his sister coming in and calling bullshit on it.
Yeah.
I love that Dustin's mom has got a replacement for Muse called Twos.
Yep.
And it's this adorable little kitten. And, okay.
This is the moment we have to talk about.
The bald move team is sharply divided once again in these final three episodes. I loved Dustin's Farrah Fawcett hair.
No, Dustin. Dustin, stop it. You don't need Steve's advice. Your hair is fine. Just be you.
He's straight up Ducky from...
He's never looked more like a Muppet.
But he's got... He looks cool, man. Like,
jacket.
Lost on these 13-year-olds, and I... Man, I really felt for this guy, because he's like, you know, Will gets... Zombie Boy gets a girl.
Even Zombie Boy.
Lucas gets the one that he wanted, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to make it the best out of this situation. I'm going to approach all these girls, and they all fucking shit on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I'm like, what? Because I was waiting to, like, some... Because they've never really established him as having a crush, and they already pawned Will off to some rando, but can they do that again? And then the camera falls on Nancy, who's volunteering as a kind of chaperone, and she sees that, and she rescues him.
Fantastic moment with him where she says, look, these girls are stupid. I was stupid that age.
Right.
A few years from now, they're going to appreciate who you are.
And she's taking him and help. And also, this automatically, you could see the other girls, like now this like hot older girl is dancing with Dustin, and they're like, oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she says that you're always my favorite, which, you know, let's be honest. He's everyone's favorite now.
Yeah.
Sorry, Lucas. I'm sorry, Luca. Dustin has definitely supplanted you in my heart now.
Yeah.
That was great. And, like, there's just, like, it got really misty in the Bald Theater. This is just so emotionally fulfilling. And then they go out with Hopper and Joyce, and they had this story about them smoking in the schoolyard, mm-hmm. and they're doing that again, and he's comforting, they both know what it's like to lose someone now.
Yeah. And then now with Hopper out of the way, Elle and Mike finally get to kiss.
Yep. That was like, I knew it was coming. Yeah. Like, Mike's looking glum, and they'd taken care of the other three guys, and like they already had the conversation with Hopper saying, well, what about one night?
Yeah.
And the snowball was something that she was looking so forward to last season until she got evaporated. And when she walked in, it was just great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Her and Mike dancing was super awesome. Mr. Clark's fucking Christmas sweater. Super awesome. This school, like, looked, you know, this it's on the upper end of believability for a small Indiana school to put on this awesome a production for a middle school dance.
Yeah.
But it looked kind of like, it looked really legit. And
it was great.
Everyone got a great, like, it's bittersweet. Like, you know, Joyce, Bob was a great character. And I think she loved him already, and then he's such a fucking hero and saved them all.
Yeah.
That, like, it's not going to be, like, I mean, clearly this opens the door for Joyce and Hopper, which I think
it does.
Everyone's low-key shipping.
Oh, for sure.
But Bob is such a sweetheart that, like, as soon as, like, midway through the season, I'm like, well, you know, fuck Hopper, sorry. You're going to have to go find somebody else.
And I'm not like, oh, thank God Bob's dead. Now
no.
Joyce and Hopper can get together. No. I'm just like, okay, well, now that Bob's dead,
narratively,
Hopper's back on the table.
Yeah, if they want to, and I'm not even sure if they will, but if they want to, like, they have a solid friendship that stretches back many, many years.
Yep.
That would make sense if, you know, they did something with that. Like, everyone, there's a mutual love and respect. There's a mutual love and respect there amongst everyone.
Yeah.
Like who calls bullshit if Hopper and Joyce get together? Jonathan? No fucking way.
No.
Like,
no.
Will? No fucking way. Jane? No. Like, it's...
I'd like to take Will into the D&D basement, sit him down at the table and say, all right, Will, this is before season one starts. You're going to go through a year and a half of pure hell.
Right.
But at the end of it, you're going to get to dance with a girl and kiss her at the at the snowball of 84.
Right.
Are you in?
Yeah.
Because holy shit, that kid's been through so much.
Yeah.
And to give him any kind of moment at the end was so needed. So desperately fucking needed.
Yeah, yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, Will the Wise. Give it up for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was perfect. I feel like this met and exceeded far beyond my expectations for this season.
Yeah.
I think Netflix has got a huge hit on its hands. They've really caught lightning in the bottle. And I can't wait. I'm really excited to see what the Duffer Brothers do in the future. Like, yeah. They're going to get one of these big Marvel movies. They might get a Star Wars movie.
Like Guardians 3 or something.
Yeah, who would you be more excited to hear taking the reins of a Guardians 3 or Star Wars Episode 9 or a young Han Solo Chronicles? I mean, I kind of wish we could take the young Han Solo Chronicles away from Ron Howard and give it to the... Like, okay, this was a bad... Okay, do-over. Do-over. Yeah. This thing's a train wreck. We might recap. We're going to keep Donald Glover and we're just going to give this thing over to... Or fuck that. Just like, let you know what... Fuck Han Solo. Let's give the Duffer Brothers the Lando Chronicles and build it around Donald Glover. And I mean, I hope they don't get like sucked into some bullshit DC or Dark Universe, Universal Monster bullshit, because they deserve a top of the line Marvel or Star Wars franchise.
Yeah.
It's got to happen. It's got to happen. If they have it, maybe they don't have an interest in it, but like, goddamn, I want to see their take on Star Wars. They've got this shit in their bones, right?
They do. It's seemingly, yeah.
And the and same thing with the comic books. Like, I mean, the boys have almost all been about D&D and Star Wars, but in the very first episode, they established that they're super into comic books, too.
X-Men, yep.
Yeah, so, like, fuck, that's what Sony should do.
Just hand it to them.
So give, like, you know, you got a little momentum built with Logan. Give the Duffer Brothers and X-Men to revive and reap in the fucking rewards. Stay the fuck out of their way. They got this.
Yeah. No, that could be cool. I'm definitely going to watch anything that they do in the future, and... It seems like for the next few years, it's going to be Stranger Things, which I'm cool with.
My excitement for David Harbour being in Hellboy is now off the charts.
Yeah.
Because he's got this like hulking charisma already, and you put horns and red body paint and a giant stone fist on him, and
Yeah, honestly, he's one of those, Chris Pratt kind of guys where I saw him floating around and I knew his face,
but
he had never really done anything to stand out, and now... Now we're talking about big time career boost.
Yeah, you can do the emotional stuff. He's funny. He can be an action guy. My wife texted me and informed me that she's going to pursue a divorce and stalk him full time, Lucas and Dustin style. So I got that going for me. maybe I can be the cool ex-husband in that relationship.
Uh-huh.
Hey, David. How you doing? You enjoying Cecily? This is a great season. I'm really curious to see. I hope nobody hates it. I don't know if I get a feedback where people just like,
if
someone's
imagine.
Like, I just thought season two is a massive letdown. I didn't like it. Like, that will really bum me out.
The only real criticism.
More for them than me, but.
The only real criticism I could see somebody leveling against it is that it's more of the same. But honestly, that's what I signed up for.
Yeah, and more of the same is not a bad thing.
And it seems not to matter that the. To me, anyway, that the overarching plot is kind of the same. Big bad threat comes in. Mm-hmm. It's resolved in the same way with pretty much the same patterns, like distractions and L.
Yeah.
It's really about the texture here for me. And it's so fucking good that I just lose myself in it. And when the big things come along and I go, oh, yeah, that's just like last season, I don't get mad at that.
Yeah.
Because everything else is so enjoyable.
And the characters are great, and the payoff to the characters are great. That, like, I'm serious. If the only flaw of the series is on the finale episode, Jane just screams at some CGI thing, I don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't care. If everything else is entertaining and gripping, and now that they've killed Bob, like, I feel like there's real stakes, too.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess that's... Going forward, I wonder if these kids are absolutely safe, if one of them will, because there's the other thing is like there's a lot of emotional depth that they could yank out of the audience by killing these kids.
And one or two.
I
mean, they increased the party size, right, this year?
Right,
so
right.
They could shed a few pounds on that party.
Yeah, I don't think they have to.
No.
But I've certainly like invested in them enough that it scares me.
Yeah.
And that's what you need the audience to always think that it's a possibility that these people can fail.
Mm-hmm.
So hats off to everybody involved. Good work all around.
Yeah. I think that's it until our wrap-up cast, which we don't know when that's going to be yet.
No.
But it's definitely coming.
It's definitely coming. StrangerThings@baldmove.com for the email for that. You can go to the forums to just discuss as people are catching up. There's a thread for every episode. I'll probably start a wrap-up thread after this if you want to just give overall thoughts, or, you know, appropriate place would be on the ninth episode thread as well. And we appreciate you going on this journey with us. Hope you've enjoyed it. Follow us on social media or stick around at baldmove.com for everything else we do. Because if you're just finding us because of our Stranger Things marathon, we cover a lot of shows. We got Walking Dead right now. We got American Horror Story. We got Mr. Robot. Next year, we are looking forward to Westworld, which we do upright. We also have, I would say, decently successful Game of Thrones podcast. We have so many television and movie, and we're always doing first run movies. We'll be seeing Thor and Star Wars and some of the people's favorite films coming up. All this stuff going on at baldmove.com. Thanks to Sonos for sponsoring this season of Stranger Things. I will put in their promo code, the Stranger10 promo code, and the link on this episode 9 show notes as well. I just had a great time. It was a great, you know, I was kind of dreading this weekend because I knew it was going to be a lot of work, but it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of work, but ton of fun.
Thank God.
I've enjoyed it.
Imagine if this had been a shitty season.
No, I couldn't have done it.
That's the thing. Like, there's a hidden level of difficulty where I was kind of ready to be pissed
if I
spent all this time and effort and I wasn't rewarded, but I was totally rewarded. So
yeah,
thanks for joining with us. Hope to hear from you in the wrap-up podcast. And until the next time, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
See ya.